I'm Andy Hamer, and this is Dave Podmore's Ashes 2005.
And Podmore's holding the historic urn aloft containing the ashes, and he's running around the boundary now, acknowledging the crowd. And how on earth Podmore got his hands on the ashes, I really don't. One can only assume he broke into the Lord's Museum and purloined it. He certainly wasn't picked for this match. I dare say he hasn't even got a ticket.
Yeah, no, England and Australia are two great sporting nations, obviously, albeit the Aussies haven't got anything like the culture we've got. If you think there's Rolf Harris, Shiraz, and after that you're struggling. As for the television, it's just repeats of The Bill and Heartbeat. And where's that made? Mitcham. Bee Gees, born in Manchester.
Ah, it's going to clear the boundary. Let's straight over Shane Warne's head and into the car park. Oh, gee, I think that's the furthest I've ever seen a cricket bat thrown in anger. Ah, Podmore's absolutely furious about that decision to close the pavilion bar. But, look, he's just going to have to accept it.
Sure, Australia's a nice enough place to visit. Seafood, eating outdoors, shoes without socks, whatever. But basically over there you're a big fish in a small pond and... Dave Podmore would rather be a slightly smaller fish in a larger sort of pond, say a reservoir. Maybe I could be a bream or a tench. Perch are nippy little fellas. So, Australia, very much so. Though they all say Brisbane's very clean. It's well up there in the world cleanness rankings. Well, Podmore is asking for a runner, but I don't think that will be allowed. It's his own fault if he has eaten too much. Well, the physio is coming onto the field with a Diet Coke now, but it is too late for that. He is an overweight man.
Well, it's been 18 years since we last won the Ashes. 18 years of hurt. And the man at the heart of that hurt is the man in whose charming lounge I have the distinct thrill to be sitting in now. The man who's been described as the most nondescript cricketer of his or any other generation. A man by the name of D.V. Podmore, Esquire. So, Pod, is it still hurting?
No, I'm not sure about hurting. It's more of a disappointing sort of itch.
Because that hurt goes pretty deep. In 1989, you were 12th man and you dropped a vital catch, which let Australia back into the game. Then you crashed the team bus. Then when you were finally selected for a tour of Australia, you were sent home for bad behaviour, while still in the Heathrow departure lounge.
I've never pretended to be a monk, Andy.
No, but you... did once dress up as a nun at the Ashes Christmas party in 1990.
Yeah. So what's your point?
Well, do you have any regrets about any of this?
Just go to that shelf, Andy.
Yeah.
That big book marked Dictionary.
Yeah. By this set of videos done up to look like Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
Carmageddon, volumes 1-4.
Yeah. Open the dictionary at the letter R.
Right.
Now turn to the REs and tell me what you find.
Yeah, there's been a bit cut out.
Correct. It's the word regret.
Right.
Because regret, Andy, is not a word that's in Dave Podmore's dictionary.
Okay. Bit of a long way to get to that point, Pod, but I think, just check the batteries. Oh, we're all right for another 10 minutes. So, no regrets, Pod?
No, I wouldn't say that. What I do regret is the way I've been treated. I've always been available for selection, always had Team England tattooed on my heart. I've also got a cross of St George just down the back here.
Yeah.
Can you see?
Yes, just below OK Kebabs of Hinckley, with the Sultan doing the thumbs up.
But never once have I been given the courtesy of a phone call explaining why I'm not being picked.
Yeah.
No, not even when my mum was unwell. Two of the dogs were sick, Saxon had worms, Rocky had a septic paw, nothing.
Well, could it be that you just don't...
Just seems to me there are some people in this world who only want one thing out of life, and that thing is Dave Podmore's head on a plate.
Well, do you think
it's a sad toilet, basically.
No. Could it be that you don't fit into the dressing room, Pod?
No, I get on all right with most people.
No, I mean, can you physically fit through the door with the extra poundage you put on these days?
Well, I was always a big lad, and it's never hampered my performance as a cricketer.
Pod always had the bulk, you see, and he knew how to use it. Helped him to absorb the alcohol.
Aussie cricket legend David Boone.
Well, I knew I had to put a performance in early in the 89 tour, so I necked 52 tinnies on the flight from Sydney. Then, the first game, Poddy's gone and put away 74 lagers on the coach from the hotel to the ground. I thought I had a thirst, so I knew I was in for a fight, and very soon I was. It was ugly.
Nice story. Any other memories of the tour?
None. Complete blank after that. Shirley, That's the bill started. It's a two-parter. Draw the curtains, will you, mate?
Sure. But out-drinking the Tasmanian keg on legs wasn't enough to get Pod picked for England. Something other Aussies with a more detailed recollection of the tour still find strange.
None of the girls could understand why they didn't pick him. He had the moustache to die for. It went right round and practically met up with his mullet. It was like a full helmet of hair.
Former air hostess Bev Kerry was closer than most to the Australian team.
I remember Merv Hughes coming into the hotel bar at it would have been Headingley. He was in tears. Bev, he said, I thought I had a reasonably fashionable set of whiskers, but this guy Podmore, he's so hirsute, it's awesome. I tell you, Merv was set to get on that plane back to Digger's Bum.
But fortunately for the Australians, that seat on the plane back to Digger's Bum remained unoccupied. Merv Hughes drew confidence from the England selectors' failure to pick Podmore, and Australia won the second test, Hughes taking 4 for 52 in the first innings, including the prize scalp of Graham Hick.
Oh, he's out again! Oh, dear!
This set the tone for the next few Ashes series.
And he's clean bowled there, Hick.
Oh, dear, poor old Hickey. I'm afraid that's the end of his day. That's it! He's out! Bowled!
Yeah, that's a dreadful shot. Yeah, it's dreadful.
Yeah, there he goes. He's failed again. Hick failed again. It's the same old story, unfortunately.
That could have been me getting those ducks. But, unfortunately, I'm English. Born here. Don't happen to speak South African or Egyptian or Martian.
No.
Didn't go down too well with the little tin gods.
But there have been off-the-field compensations, Pod. I mean, here we are in your magnificent Tudor ranch on the outskirts of Odeby. This big pole with the UKIP flag flying proudly above your carport. I'm sitting on more fruits of your success now. This marvellous leather sofa.
From Lutterworth Seating Solutions.
And anyone still in doubt about whether Dave Podmore's made it or not, despite the best efforts of our friends the selectors, need look no further than the pair of ceramic leopards either side of the plasma screen in... Is that a Sheraton-style cabinet?
Mm-hmm. Made by ancient Hinari craftsmen. You can turn the leopard's eyes on if you like, Andy. Oh, there's a remote just there.
Ooh, spooky. And what are these holes in the arms of the sofa? Are they for a glass of something acceptable?
They're popcorn pouches, Andy. Salt in this arm and sweet over here.
Ooh. Ooh,
yeah. Yeah, I filled that one with dog pellets, actually. The boys will be in a minute. Always let them have their breakfast in here when it's wet out. Jackie, too.
Ah, yes. The attractive third, Mrs. Podmore.
Hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying, Andy. The record books do not lie. I mean, look at the stats since 1987. Mm. D.V. Podmore, wickets 2, wives 3, dogs 11. Actually, that should be 10.5, given what Saxon did to Tyson. But England, in the same period, series against Australia 9, how many have we won? Oh, none at all.
Hmm. And your lack of international recognition is all the more surprising, given that in many ways Dave Podmore is the glue that holds the county game together.
Oh, can you give me that one again, Andy, and say Bostick? Yeah. It's just a local firm and I'm after the leather footstool to go with the sofa.
And your lack of international recognition is all the more surprising, given that in many ways Dave Podmore is the Bostick that holds the county game together.
Very much so.
By 1994, the Ashes hurt had turned into a festering sore. Opinions differ as to the causes of England's poor performances down under. Let Stewie, Gucci and Gus Fraser, from the England team of the time, take up the story.
Well, basically, we had Rory Bremner following us about everywhere. He's in the bar, he's by the pool.
He's in the dressing room.
I never minded Mick Jagger, he was a laugh. Elton John, at least he brought some flowers.
But Rory and those impressions, well, they just did your head in.
He did an impression of a pair of pads once, I nearly strapped him on.
The situation was getting desperate. But fortunately, Dave Podmore was on hand.
I'd flown out that week with the fancy dress costumes for the Christmas party, and I could see I walked into a situation, so got the lads together and we had a meeting. I felt if we could lose a test match inside 2 days and leave the ground through separate exits, we'd have a chance of giving Rory the slip.
But it was not to be. With just one England wicket left standing at the end of the second day, play was unexpectedly forced into a third.
Managed to hit the ball, and he's not out. Oh, how weird is that? Well, we're going to have to come back tomorrow. I tell you, this game is going into a third day.
The plan in ruins, Friday evening found the England team having to put on a brave face at an official function, with an after-dinner speech by, who was it exactly? Trevor McDonald? Ian McCaskill? Could it be David Frost?
Hello, good evening, and welcome. It's bad technique, is that? Hell, they'll be raising a glass in Perth tonight. Yeah, yeah. What if Murray Walker commentated on cricket?
Now, I've come
Wales. Go, go, go! And they won't be dancing in the streets of Murrayfield, I can tell you. So, swing to the left. Bong. And tonight, with Trevor MacDonald, the headline.
Celebrity hangers-on are nothing new in the illustrious history of the Ashes.
And so, England have lost the Ashes again. But the players are cheered up by the arrival in the Oval dressing room of local boy made good Charlie Chaplin, who brings a smile to the faces of our lads by eating his shrews. Yes, there go the laces again.
England's disastrous tour went from bad to worse. But Dave Podmore was determined to make the most of his trip down under by making a pilgrimage to see the great England expat fast bowler Harold Larwood, who terrorised the Australians in the infamous 1933 Bodyline series with his deadly accuracy.
Oh! Right under my heart!
Clear off! Go on! Off it! It's private property!
Oh! Look, you've hit me in the fags!
Have you got fags?
Yeah.
Oh, come in then.
So, Mr. Larwood, how have things changed since your day?
Yeah. He's a grand smoky, Jack. Can I have another?
Oh, that was quick. You've only just lit it. God, you've hardly lost any speed at all.
Greatest difference between then and now, definitely fags. Mm. I attribute my raw pace to my desire to get through and over as quickly as possible, to get off and have another fag. Oh, I will, thanks, lad. You want to smoke a bit more, son? You're too fat. I were like you, a right fatty Arbuckle. Till Mr. Jardine come up to me, said, Harold, try these. I'd do anything for Mr. Jardine. Next thing I know, I'm on 80 a day, and we've won the Ashes. Will you leave us the packet and the matches?
No, you're all right, Harold.
Have you not got a box with Joe Camp back?
No,
don't matter. Now, do you mind clearing off out? It's heartbeat coming on.
Harold Larwood epitomised the era when you could famously whistle down a coal mine and up would come a fast bowler. So my next sport of call is Selby, the last surviving coal mine in Yorkshire, to see if this could still be the answer to England's Ashes enigma.
That'll do.
I'm joined by a likely-looking candidate, Darren. And may I ask you, Darren, have you ever considered becoming an England fast bowler like your tyke namesake Goffey?
No.
Where exactly do your ambitions lie, if not at Lord's or the Oval?
Sadler's Wells.
Really?
We're over to Bally now, up here.
Oh, that explains the tutu.
Aye.
So, no hope of you steaming in from the nursery end to terrorise the Aussies?
No, my big desire is to do on-to-shop do's when we make Graham dressed as swans.
That's interesting. Just to play devil's advocate, it's a shame to see so many of our old mining traditions disappearing. The cricket club, the colliery band.
Oh, we keep the band going. Got a CD here, all songs from shows, King and I, South Pacific, Carousel.
England's fast bowling cupboard may be bare, but our dominance in musical comedy continues, though Priscilla Queen of the Desert and Strictly Ballroom prove that the old enemy is closing the gap.
Can you turn it off, Andy?
It does rather lead me on to my next question, Pod.
Should match-fixing be made legal?
No. Have you seen Billy Elliot?
No.
Well, put it this way. Between the two of us, we've seen it 8 times.
We tried taking the England lads to the theatre in 1997, yeah? Part of the bonding weekend. The paintballing was all right, and the blindfold Land Rover racing, I like that. But going to the National Theatre, it just didn't work.
Why not, Pod?
Well, those David Hare plays, I mean, give me a break. Full of women being the voice of reason. Not only is that not true to life, but it messed with the lads' brains. Anyway, 3-2 to the Aussies. End of story.
But not quite.
I'm an MCC member.
We're 40 for 3.
I've got Nick on my blazer.
But he never sees me.
The series was to be immortalised on the West End stage in Tim Rice's musical, England Against Australia, 1997.
I was very happy with the title. I knew I'd got that right, but I wanted the cricket to be convincing. And I happened to run into Dave Podmore at Spearmint Rhino one morning. I'm on the Arts and Library Committee there, and I suggested we get together.
You are my partner.
And I am your catch.
I am your maiden.
we're winning this match. St. Patrick, Anchor, and Northampton Kent. New Zealand, West Indies, 100%. Sponsorship logos and Waterloo Kings. Channel 4 Racing and Corporate Teams.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop you there, Michael.
What's the matter? Do you think I should have put in more statistical analysis into the libretto? Maybe some bowling figures?
What is going on here? What's the story, Ricey?
Well, the story is a love affair between an MCC associate member and a lady scorer, and they're torn apart by the forces of the establishment who won't let her into the long room. Mm. And then in the second act, she steals in disguised as a waitress, but he's forgotten his tie, so it's doomed.
Yeah, yeah, that's one way of describing it. Give me the music, will you?
Do you think you could do something with it?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There. Right, start again. So, let's think. Well, the lass works in the Ladbrokes tent, if you want to keep the cricket thing going. He's a streaker. Now, lyrics, let's think. They're madly in love with each other, so crazy, mental, mental for you, certifiable, barky, barmy, barmy. Something that rhymes with barmy, barmy, barmy. Yeah, this is your field, Tim.
Salami? Gold Lamy?
Come on, Tim, waiting.
Palmy, Carmy, Army.
Army, right, okay. Barmy, Army. Barmy, Army. Barmy, Army.
Barmy, Army.
That's it, Tim, come on. Barmy, Army.
I'm not sure what it is. Barmy,
Army. It's good.
No, it's not. Barmy, Army.
Fantastic.
Barmy, Army.
That's good.
Barmy, Army. Balmy,
it's balmy,
it's rather vulgar, though.
No, it's again, this is going number
balmy,
one.
Balmy,
balmy, balmy, balmy, balmy. Elaine, come on, love.
Balmy, balmy,
balmy, balmy, balmy.
The show didn't make it past the Palace Theatre, Watford, but the love anthem was to change the atmosphere at cricket grounds forever. Back in the 1998-99 series Down Under, the England management were trying ever more outlandish ways to get the psychological edge over the Aussies. Motivational tapes in the dressing room were the order of the day. Churchill's speeches were the new rock and roll.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets.
Well, it did work. We did fight them on the beaches, on Bondi Beach, and in the streets, and outside the Bourbon and Beefsteak Club, actually. Hotel lobbies, too, obviously. But it didn't really help the cricket. And, well, we were down to four fit men by the end of the second test.
It was a bit embarrassing, really.
Charlene Dugan, the human quarry in the popular lunchtime entertainment at the Sydney Cricket Ground, chased the Sheila.
I had to slow right down and give the England blokes a chance to catch me. I even stopped for a pie, and they were still 50 metres away.
Australia went into a 3-1 lead, and in desperation, the England management turned to the ancient art of hypnosis to turn things round. Ever loyal to the cause, Dave Podmore volunteered to be first on the couch.
Where do you think you are now, Pod?
Just saying goodnight to the dogs back home. Right. Okay, let's make a start. Go on, swing your watch.
Top sports hypnotherapist and beautician Dr. Bev McGrew takes up the story.
I regressed Pod way back to the scene of ancient Pom triumphs to try and boost his confidence.
Oh, oh.
Where are you now, Pod?
I can see a bloke with a bucket on his head.
That'll be Ned Kelly.
Oh, gotta shoot him. Bang! Ah, missed. Try again. Just wide. Now, that's short. Oh, God, I'm sorry, guys. I'm all over the shop today.
The experiment was as unsuccessful as the England campaign. And more humiliation was to follow on the long journey home, where the in-flight movie was Mel Gibson's graphically gory version of Botham's Ashes, in which Mel, as Dennis Lilly, took on and thrashed the evil imperialists led by Charles Dance as Ian Botham.
Ah, Mr. Lilly, we meet again. I regret to say that your stay at the crease will of necessity be a brief one.
We'll see about that, Lord Botham. Try this for size. Damn you, Lily! You've won the Ashes!
Altogether, Pod, something of a travesty.
Yeah, it was. It was top entertainment. That scene where Mike Brearley sets fire to the Australian team bus and crashes into Big Ben. That's brilliant special effect.
Although not a scene recorded in Wisden, Pod.
Well, 1-8 Oscars, though. Reasonable day at the office, I'd say. Saxon liked it, didn't you? You liked it so much you ate the DVD. Special features, outtakes, the lot, didn't you? Yeah, guts. The guts.
The cultural divide between England and Australia is highlighted by the treatment of cricket on the silver screen. Mike Lee's Ashes might not have won any Oscars, but it did give a more true-to-life picture of how cricket fitted into the social fabric of the 1950s.
Hello, Mr. Hutton. Cup of tea? Pop your pads off and I'll put the kettle on.
Thanks, Vera. Don't mind if I do.
Bit parky out, is it, Mr. Hutton? Lucky we got a pot of tea on the go.
Budge up, Cyril. Room for a little one. Lovely cup of tea.
Sit yourself down, Mr. Hutton. Oh, hello, Mr. Compton.
Hello, Vera.
Score many runs out there?
Oh, I mustn't grumble.
Oh, have a cup of tea. And I've run a nice hot bath for you, in case your girlfriend's up the duff.
And with the advent of computer-generated imagery, or CGI, it's been possible to recreate in authentic detail the very first England versus Australia test at Lord's, in Ridley Scott's eagerly awaited Ashes, starring Russell Crowe.
My name is Dr. W.G. Grace, and I will have Midland leg, please!
I have to say, though, Pod, I was a bit disappointed by Angela's Ashes. There was no cricket in it whatsoever.
Didn't read it.
No. I bought it off Amazon on a 3-for-2 offer with the last two Harry Potter books. But do you think Jackie might like it?
Not enough time, Andy. Not with all her catalogues. There's not enough reading hours in the day.
Oh, that's a shame, because I can't very well take it back. You know, I often think, Pod, if only we could play the Aussies at Quidditch, we'd have a chance of winning. After all, we gave Quidditch to the world. What do you think?
Dunno.
How do you think Professor Dumbledore would shape up to Matthew Hayden, Pod?
Really don't care, Andy.
Or what if the England team were characters from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Who do you think would be Slarty Bartfast? Rob Key, perhaps, or Matthew Hoggett?
Can you just stop this, Andy?
Sorry. Well, it's the final leg of our Ashes journey. To try to get to the heart of the mystery of England's underperformance against the Aussies, Pod and I have come to BBC Television Centre to counsel the opinion of the last English cricketer to get a result in Australia.
Tuffers, my man!
Hey, happy days, sweet, yeah, happy days.
Phil Tufnell of Middlesex in England. Tuffers, if I may, tell us how you did it.
Kept eating the insects, they kept voting for me. Toss me a lizard, I've eaten that.
I wasn't thinking of your success on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I was thinking more of when you skittled the Aussies out at the Oval in 1997.
Yeah, sweet.
Hey, what about Jenny Bond? Is it true about her wearing no knickers?
Yeah, happy days!
Just to get back to some of the greats you've bamboozled.
This man here, Andy, he's seen off Wayne Sleep.
Yeah, Sleep-O, Bosch, sweet.
Sean Lloyd, he's kippered her, Anthony Worrell Thompson.
What's up, Will Chutney?
What are you doing now, Tuffers?
Just finishing off a spider. Want a leg?
Yeah, go on then.
Then I'm doing a Newsnight review.
Oh, with Kirsty Walk and Jermaine Greer. Only a matter of time, I suppose. Well, Tuffers, you've certainly put another cultural feather in English cricket's cap.
Good eye, Tuffers.
Watch your babes.
Coming for a Ruby Murray ring stinger after the show.
Ooh, Professor Greer.
I've eaten, sweetheart.
But Pod and I'll come with you, Jermaine. Perhaps we could pick your formidable brains about the reason for Australia's sporting supremacy.
Yeah, or you could go and stick your head up a dead beer's bum.
I think that tells us all we need to know about the cultural divide, Pod. Shall we go?
She's still quite fit.
With 2 days to go before the first test, Australian interest in the Ashes tour has never been more intense.
Come on, Aussie, come on, come on.
You're listening to G'day Sydney, and here's the news on the top of the hour. The wombat in Darwin, its paws better. So that's good news. Latest news from the Ashes tour. The Australian team made an emotional pilgrimage to Bristol Zoo today to pay their respects at the grave of the kangaroo who died in 1843 of pommy neglect. Ricky Ponting vowed to avenge what he called the worst case of marsupial abuse in history. Arts news now, and still at number one, after 14 years and keeping the theme from the bill in the number two spot, it's Come On Aussie, Come On.
Come on.
Well, Pod, it looks as though we're in for another summer of hurt. And what's more, it looks like happening without the involvement of a certain medium-paced bowler who never gives it less than 100, 110.
I seem to be doing 125 at the moment. I want to get back in time for Neighbours. Yeah, I've done all I can. Offered to help. Break Shane Warne's finger.
What's his spinning finger, Pod?
No, his texting finger, the one he uses to send mucky messages to nurses. That'll spoil his series. Rain on his bald patch. Hello. Thorny! How's the old fella? Yeah, I can make a meeting. I just get my diary. Hold the steering wheel, Andy.
In a dramatic turn of events, I managed to steer the car back off the hard shoulder and deliver Dave Podmore to the secret moat house location, where the England team were preparing for their date with destiny, and where Pod was finally given the chance to play a key role in the Ashes campaign.
So, we're looking for ways to get up the Aussie pipes big style. What have we got on the flip chart? Well, we've got steal their practical jokes kit.
And hide their itching powder.
Good one, Hoggy. You had something, Strousey.
Invite them to Buckingham Palace and make them drink out of glasses instead of tins.
yeah, good work, Strousey. Freddie.
I read this Robert Ludlum, where they got a syringe with a special serum in it. Mm. And they went to Frankfurt and stuck it in. No, they put it in left luggage.
Yeah, we haven't got time for that, Freddie. We need to find something to do their heads in, and we've got to do it tonight. Hang on, has anybody got the number of the Victoria Palace Theatre?
After only one day's play in Ashes 2005, it's too early to tell whether Dave Podmore has found a chink in the Aussies' armour. But we may get some clues from their close-of-play press conference now taking place.
Ricky, how do you think it went today? Do you think the pitch will last till the fourth day or not?
Might do. Look, I don't really care.
Doug Nobbs, the sun. What do you mean?
Well, Doug, there's so much more to life than cricket. And we had our eyes opened last night. I guess we got in touch with our feminine side.
Where was that?
Well, we went to see this musical called Billy Elliot. It's a truly inspirational tale of a boy who makes his dreams come true through the power of dance.
Are you going to target bangers off stump weakness?
I don't think it's a conflict thing.
Pauline Fitzsimmons, Sydney Morning Herald. Geez, Glenn, can we get some sense out of you?
Well, I think the way little Billy overcame his father's hostility was...
Shame. Cripes, are you going to stuff the poms or not?
I'm in too good a place right now. What do you think of these?
Geez, Shane! You've got a pair of swan strides on there, mate. How's that going to help you win the Ashes?
We're all winners in the great belay of life.
What?
It's good to cry. Let it all out, mates. And on behalf of the whole Australian team, I'd like to thank you, English, for making us so welcome. I hate the word poms. I'd like to thank Elton John for writing such a beautiful score. And above all, Dave Podmore for getting us the tickets and introducing us to a world of choreographic delight.
No problem, pal.
Come on, guys. One, two, three.
Suddenly I'm flying. Flying like a bird, like electricity, electricity, sparks inside of me, and I'm free, I'm free.
Dave Podmore would obviously like to thank Christopher Douglas, Andrew Nichols and Nick Newman for their help in making this programme. Also, Lewis McLeod, Nicholas Sanderson, Mark D'Inverno, Sir Tim Rice and Richard Wilson. Dave Podmore's Ashes special was brought to you by Gasket Planet of Rugeley.
How's that?
For gaskets.
Three, oh.